This is a Venkast Studios production.
Welcome, welcome to Riding the Pine. I am Hondo, here with Guy. What's up, Guy?
Yo, yo, what's good, man?
So, I don't know, like, what to call this. We're in, like, this very weird week right now.
This is the purgatory episode.
Because it's like we're right in the middle of the draft has just happened. Awards are happening tomorrow. We essentially have free agency kicking off in July. We have the big three starting. It's so weird. It's so weird because the season is clearly over, but we're not stopping. Can't slow down. No way, no how.
I woke up in a dripping sweat.
Yeah.
And I just realized I woke up as happy as a clam because I still have Jimmy Butler.
You know what? It's been a range of emotions here, and we'll dig into all of that in our Minnesota highlight episode. Sure. But boy, there's a lot to digest there. There's so many pictures coming out, so many emotions.
I'm so hyped. I was crying, and now I'm just jubilant as can be.
Hey, I'll tell you one thing that I've heard. You have to be waiting, where I am waiting at least, for the new Nike jerseys to come out.
Yeah, and then so, I'm buying the whole fucking game.
Yeah, just buying it. Yeah. like Jimmy Butler is going to be rocking. The Jimmy Butler jerseys are going to be all over the Ballard neighborhood.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Let's do it, man. Let's make that happen.
No, we have to make it happen. Yeah. I'll tell you one thing before we get into kind of the meat of this episode. You know what? If you haven't been watching the NBA, like I said, it's a slower time. But there is possibly the funniest thing I've seen all season, and that is Klay Thompson going for a 360 dunk. Klay Thompson missed this thing hard. He like gets rejected by the rim and falls to the ground. I probably conservatively have watched this maybe 20 to 30 times.
Yeah, right.
It's hilarious.
Bring back Vine, man. Bring back Vine. I could see this 1,000 times on Vine.
Six seconds. Yeah. It just keeps playing. It's just like you get in a real dark place if you're watching a video about 100 to 1,000 times.
I immediately thought of Bob Saget in America's Funniest Home Videos. I was like, where is this in the grand finals?
Hey, Bob Saget, you know, anytime you're ready for this, we'll have an NBA bloopers.
Yeah.
Just straight NBA bloopers back in action. You know what? You could swear if you want, Bob Saget, because I know who you are. But
we're coming for that 10 stacks of high society.
So.
Oh, dude, but the stage was set. In China, of all places, Klay Thompson's visiting. He's like, watch this.
Yeah.
Does a little like spin around 360, block, gets hurt in the rim, gets blocked at the rim, rather, falls down, is hurt.
Yeah.
Did he leave on a stretcher or something?
I don't know.
Or the Chinese equivalent of a
stretcher? I don't know what happened. I never got to that point because I just kept watching the fall time and time and time again.
Right.
So, oh my goodness. Incredibly funny and... It's like I said, it's kind of this weird period right now, but we're right on the cusp of the NBA Awards, which are actually tomorrow night, hosted by Nicki Minaj and Drake.
Oh.
So on TNT. I don't know. It's the first they're really trying to create an event out of this. It's very obscure though, if you've been a basketball fan for a long time, about how late these awards are. Oh. Just like everything's already happened. Everything's already happened. We know who's won, and now we're just figuring out what happened. Like
they want to go on vacation. They want to spend their time like not thinking about basketball. Now they have to show up and dress accordingly and get an award or not get an award and just be there.
Yeah.
It's pretty shameful. I think what they've been doing in years past was also kind of regrettable because you would wait to the playoffs, then you would wait till the end of the first round to get most of them, and then you would wait till partly through the second round for your MVP. I remember one year like Dirk won MVP or something, right?
Yeah.
And they had been eliminated in the first round.
Yeah.
So it's like that was really hard, and like why would you do that? There's like this week in between the end of the season and the playoffs. That's when this should happen.
Yeah.
Like get it all out there.
Just get it done.
Yeah.
Come on, Adam Silver. Like look at your calendar, man. Look at your calendar. This is what an intern could put together. An intern could pick the day of the NBA Awards show because there's only one week in which it can happen all year long. Unbelievable.
Right.
Just don't put us up on our soapbox here. We have plenty of time as we approach the dog days to address this situation.
And Adam Silver, Ball Jesus. Hire us. We'll do it for you. You don't even need to call us interns or anything.
No, it's really no money. We just need to get the scheduling of the NBA season back on pace.
Right.
So you know what? Just hit us up at Ryden_ThePine. You know where to find us.
We'll
Come
be
on. You
we'll
know
be
where
there.
To find us. you know, as we get into the meat of this episode, I really wanted to talk about the... Oh, no, I really want to talk about kind of last predictions, last thoughts. We had talked about it a long time ago, but let's revisit the final six awards that that are going to be announced tomorrow night.
Sure.
And we'll kind of go through, make predictions. If you've been watching the RTP feed, How3 have been making predictions. That is not representative of everyone here, but we may have some similar opinions. So we'll take one more look at this and kind of make our final predictions into tomorrow night. And if you're in Vegas, bet these predictions hard.
Oh man.
So
really quick, can I bet on these predictions after they happen in Vegas, like 2 weeks later? Damn.
You know what? I sure wish you could, but you know that kind
it's
of
like, it's like
that kind
horse
of betting,
racing, you know?
No, of course, but that kind of betting is really reserved for the big three because the games are played same day, but then they're not televised until the next day. So
there's some hustling happening, I think, huh? People betting on big three that already know the scoop.
Is it Cube just trying to make money off the entire league himself?
Yeah, Cube's just in Vegas.
Yeah. I know who's going to win. Yeah. Here's the line for you.
So really quick, aren't there more than six awards? Isn't there just like the six main awards, and then there's these weird arbitrary anomaly like Dunk of the Year, Fashionista of the Year?
I don't know. I don't know where those awards kind of fit in, but right. I think these are actual NBA awards, and then there's probably a whole host of like TNT or blog awards or whatever the crap they are.
Yeah.
I don't know. So okay. we'll talk about the six main awards, the awards that have some sort of financial impact on the players and coaches who receive them.
All right.
So the first award, MVP.
That's the first one, huh?
Well, no, okay. Let's start at the bottom. We'll come back. And This is a fun one to actually start at. We'll start at Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, I think we might have differencing opinions on
okay,
this.
Okay, so just the nominees as before we get started. Rudy Gobert from Utah, Draymond Green from Golden State, and Kawhi Leonard from San Antonio. Yeah. So the odds-on favorite is Rudy Gobert.
Mm.
Who is your pick for Defensive Player of the Year?
For me, I think it has to be Kawhi Leonard.
Wow. Mm. Wow.
I think he might not win, but
so
I think
consistently,
just from how the season came out, you know.
Consistently named the best two-way player in the game, but is he truly the best defender?
He's guarding LeBron's. He's not guarding the paint.
I understand. Yeah. I understand. I'm not...
He switched on the best player at every game, and he's on a San Antonio Spurs team that features... Exactly. Kawhi Leonard himself on offense, where Rudy Gobert is just a defensive presence, and he can score 10, 20 points a game, but it's mostly lobs he's not creating for himself, so he's not expending himself on offense. His only purpose is on defense, and his only purpose is in the paint.
On blocks.
On block protection. Kawhi Leonard is doing that, in addition to guarding LeBron's and Harden's and Steph Curry's in the league. And the Kevin Durant's in the league.
Yeah.
And he's containing them, if not basically washing them with his production. You know what I mean? So from that, just sheer production on D, he gets a steal, if not four a game. And he gets a block, if not a couple a game. He's an all-around the best defender. They recently came out with a commercial. I think it was like a Nike commercial, and it was like Kawhi Not.
Yeah. Oh.
It was pretty good.
Wow.
And... instead of why not from the Russell Westbrook campaign, it was the Kawhi Not.
Yeah.
And the hypothetical question, it was a really fun commercial about these like two high schoolers debating about offense versus defense of Kawhi Leonard. And the hypothetical ending of it was, would Kawhi Leonard stop Kawhi Leonard?
I don't know.
And I don't know the answer.
I don't know. That's a really tough, like, you know, what if a tree falls in the forest? Like, who's there to listen?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't want to dig into the crazy hypotheticals. That's nuts. I think you're absolutely right that Kawhi is the best. He's the best all-around defensive player.
Yeah.
I think that Draymond Green has to get some sort of nod. But again, Draymond Green is hard to take... The Golden State Warriors were so good that how do you really measure the impact of his contribution? Yeah. And is it really enough to kind of push him past Kawhi? I don't think so. I had him kind of thinking about that before. in reconsidering this, I'm going to have to side with you on Kawhi.
Okay.
I think that's – it's a shame. Also, I have an ulterior motive with this, which I'll mention later sure. in the episode. Sure. But, I mean, Kawhi is a spectacular defender, and he makes San Antonio better every yeah. time he's on the court.
Right. Rudy Gobert was definitely shown, though, in the Clippers-Utah series as a reason why they would win that series.
Yeah.
And I think even when he was hurt for a couple games and, like, the series got close for a bit, and yeah. then Joe Johnson took over, but Rudy Gobert was back, and he was like, you're not scoring on me at all.
Yeah.
And so the game changes when you have a Rudy Gobert in the game.
But
so I get it. I get that.
But if you can't... But if you're an all-around defensive player, if you can play... This, Kawhi can play that player at half court, and he can also play him in the
yeah.
paint.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that makes a difference. He can block LeBron, man.
Yeah.
Like, that is the type of player and the caliber he's at. So, I just... It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. No offense, Gobert. You've had a spectacular season,
yeah.
and you help push Utah forward, but you're taking on a two-time all-defensive player.
Yeah.
Like,
let's make this three times in a row.
Let's do it. Let's yeah. do it. All right, so our next pick, most improved player.
This is crazy.
So
I'm crazy. Before you say anything, like,
yeah.
why is it the nominees? Like, why are there nominees? Why is this like the BET Awards or like the Golden Globes? Why did I say BET first?
I don't know. You're picking less. You're picking more obscure shows yeah. to really start this off yeah, with.
Right.
Okay, but let's go with the nominees. So Greek Freak at one for Milwaukee, Rudy Gobert again for Utah, and Jokic for Denver.
Yeah, Nikola Jokic from Jokic. Denver. So I think the consensus is Greek Freak.
This is the one where I cannot back down from Greek Freak. Greek Freak led his team in yeah. like eight categories or something like this.
And I'm just thinking about this, like Nikola Jokic came off the bench last year
yeah.
and he started midway through this season, if not like maybe a quarter of the way in.
Yeah.
I think Yusuf Nurkic was starting or something.
Yeah.
So he obviously usurped the Nurkic.
Yeah.
And took over the reins of the team, and now he's the face of the fucking team,
yeah.
which is fantastic. That's a lot of improvement from what he was to what he is. But he's not Greek Freak.
No, Greek Freak made himself an all-star in a league full of really, really talented players.
Yeah, and he's like the first international-born like all-star starter that's not like a Gasol.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's phenomenal that you don't see that kind of breed of a player. He's borderline a superstar.
Oh yeah, no, I definitely think he is. He is so good.
Yeah.
He's going to continue to attract players to Milwaukee or wherever he decides to go longer term.
It's crazy.
Just because he's that good, he will make other players around him better.
I saw a stat today that he's still younger than Joel Embiid.
Oh my God! I did not know
so
that.
So this dude is almost super superstar, and we're
what,
talking
is he,
about
like 22 or 21.
Yeah, he's 22. Yeah, exactly. So he's going into his fifth year.
You guys didn't see that. My eyes nearly popped out of my head. So yeah,
right, that'd be a supernatural talent.
Okay, but 22, and really, like, seriously, he's an all-star already,
yeah.
and he's got so much potential.
He has so much more growth to happen. Like,
yeah.
we're still waiting for his jump shot, and once that happens, it's actually game over for the NBA. No matter what kind of super team or,
yeah.
you know, Cinderella team you have, the Greek Freak is just going to be like, that's right, I'm on a pita bread waiting for you. That was not funny. He shouldn't have left.
I don't know. Whatever. So consensus is Greek Freak. Do you have a number two? I think Gobert is I think Gobert is third in this. If we are to stack rank him.
Yeah, this is a bit of a biased opinion, and it's not on this list, which is why I asked about the nominees. Like, why
yeah.
are they limited to three? But Karl Anthony Towns should be in this discussion. Because they were thinking that this was a borderline playoff team with just this guy alone as a second-year player
yeah.
pulling up 35 and 20 rebounds, 35
yeah.
and 12, and he was averaging that. He was an all-star. He was on the all-NBA team. And so
yep.
he should be considered, at least. But, you know, Jokic is here, and that's fine.
So we're looking at Bleacher Report and some of the odds.
Oh my God! Jokic, look at those odds.
They're exactly the same between Jokic and Greek Freak, which is crazy, crazy, crazy. Okay, I would bet that hard.
So the odds are picking Jokic, and the odds are picking Gobert.
Yeah. So the no. It's 3-2 and 3-2. So.
Oh, but so this the pick in this document though is saying the pick is Jokic, and the odds based on this projection, who's
the projection it's is saying the pick, but the way that they wrote this is kind of dumb. Sorry, Bleacher Report. Yeah. They're saying Jokic and Greek Freak have the same odds, so the pick is actually both of them. Okay, so, sure. They just give an edge. So statistically, there's not an edge over one over the other.
Okay.
They just decide to bring Jokic to the fourfold. So
okay. Well, I don't know. I think we're unanimous here in saying Greek Freak. I'll be surprised if it's not really.
Yeah. He
deserves it.
This is the one pick that I'm like I'm hands down on. Like I think there's a lot of debate in some of the other picks. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a lot of going back to the defensive player, I'm not entirely convinced that all three of them are not at least, you know, they're deserving in some capacity. All three of them. Right. I think there's a slight edge. There's a slight edge, but this one, I don't think the edge is. I think it's much, much higher than that. This article suggests.
For sure.
So okay, let's move on to Coach of the Year. So we have D'Antoni from Houston, Popovich from San Antonio, and Spoelstra from Miami.
This is wild.
I think that one of these is clearly out from the beginning.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say Spoelstra is out from the very beginning. I know what he did this season.
It's phenomenal.
I know what he did, but it's not enough against these other guys.
Yeah. Why did Tyronn Lue and Steve Kerr not get in? Just because they were the one seeds and they were like 61 teams.
Yeah, I really don't care. I really don't know. I don't know why
Tyronn Lue. Because Houston was a third seed, you know?
Yeah.
Like, how did he get in here and not Steve Kerr? That's okay. So that's my like weird like but, why did they limit it to three players or three coaches in this example? And actually, why is it Miami?
Yeah.
Miami didn't get into the playoffs.
No, exactly, but he did have an impressive run as you suggested. Yeah, so
500 season, which is
so phenomenal. Yeah, from just abysmal start. So yeah. I mean, I can see that side of it, but not getting into the playoffs is not like you're off my list right away. I think Popovich is so good perennially that it's just he gets
overlooked.
It works
against him on this.
Yeah, he gets overlooked for something like this. Yes. He goes 60 plus wins and it's still not enough. And clearly a two seed and just people overlook it.
Yeah.
Why?
So, and I think we might be doing it this year too.
No, I think my pick is D'Antoni. I think I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it as well.
Yeah.
You know,
my pick is D'Antoni because he just completely turned that franchise into a stable perennial contender now.
Yeah.
With basically Scrubs and Harden.
Yeah.
That was not seen. I was not expecting this. I remember in our off-season 3-hour prediction episode.
Go back. We'll reference that in the show notes.
With 10 people invited and only, you know, just the two of us. But, we had Houston. I had Houston, like, out of the playoffs or, like, a seventh seed or something.
Yeah.
I think you had maybe predicted them a little bit higher.
Yeah.
I think
I had them, like, 5 or maybe 6.
Yeah, I think so. And it was because I didn't expect the Harden takeover. I didn't expect that. I thought, you know, Capella would be Capella, not an all-star caliber center. I didn't think that Ryan Anderson and Eric Gordon and now Lou Williams would be like a difference makers.
Yeah.
on this franchise, and they were great. They were exactly what D'Antoni needed.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen it before in Phoenix. We've seen it before with like Stan Van Gundy in Orlando. We never really thought it could happen again, and kudos, right? Because he was outpacing. And basically giving an MVP caliber an award to a player that was probably deemed worthy of it by saying, here's the keys to this car, run with it, and it doesn't matter if you make any errors, we have so many more possessions than every other team that we're going to just dominate.
Yeah.
That's an amazing strategy. It was so hard to guard. And it had people like Popovich flummoxed, right? Like during the season, like, I don't know what to do in this series. And it just was, it just so happened that they had Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
And I think he, like on LaMarcus Aldridge had a couple games that were great as well. Yeah. So anyways, long diatribe, but basically saying D'Antoni blew expectations away and said, I'm actually a formidable coach in this NBA season, in this NBA league.
Yeah.
And don't worry about the New York Knicks crap I did. Don't worry about the Los Angeles Lakers crap I did. Mm-hmm. I was being like chained.
Yeah.
And here's D'Antoni unchained.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, I think of the turnaround that he brought to that franchise, and I completely echo your sentiment here that he just did something special with that Houston team and bringing them back kind of from the dead. So I completely am for this selection. I think Popovich had a great season once again.
Yeah.
But I just like the standard at which he's coached is so high. It's hard to say he's literally the coach of the year. I'm going to make a controversial call here, and I'm going to say that Popovich is actually my third pick because Spoelstra turning that ship around in Miami is impressive.
Right.
It is impressive, but you don't get in the playoffs, you don't deserve, in my opinion, you do not deserve Coach of the Year.
I was kind of shocked that this isn't even an award given out because these are coaches that don't really need the accolades or the attention at all. Popovich is going to be hands down one of the best coaches in NBA history. He doesn't need a seasonal award, a perennial award given to him. He gives no shits about this.
Yeah.
But like, if you were to kind of give a storyline of the season, the Spurs are not even going to be in it.
No.
It's going to be Cleveland, Golden State, and then Houston.
Yeah.
And then Miami. And then Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And Washington in a way.
Yeah.
So like, those were the coaches that kind of took teams that were not necessarily expected into consideration, into contention. I mean,
that's an interesting point. I almost want to throw Jason Kidd into the mix with Milwaukee.
Yeah,
That's definitely potential. I think Tyronn Lue could be there with the kind of how much was Steve Kerr actually out during the season due to his back injury?
I don't remember. A small chunk of games, we'll just say.
Okay.
And then I think for sure the first couple rounds of the playoffs. So.
Yeah, but this was all prior to the playoffs. So I still think D'Antoni has the best story. And whether it's warranted or not, I think it's commendable to give coaches that steered the ship in the right direction an award.
I applaud this list.
So, okay, we're going to move on from Coach of the Year. We're going to move to Sixth Man. So Sixth Man has some interesting nominations. So an interesting nomination that isn't there, and I want to talk about that in a second. So here are the nominees. Eric Gordon from Houston, Andre Iguodala from Golden State, and Lou Williams from Houston. I think one of these is off the list immediately.
Yes.
And I'm saying, Lou Williams, you do not have enough to make this list.
Wow, and I was going to say, Andre Iguodala, you don't have enough to make this list.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, that's funny. That's funny because
give your rationale then for Andre off this list.
Oh my God, we can go like an hour into this, but just like my 20 seconds or less. Yeah, put the shot clock on.
Okay.
He wasn't expected to do anything this season. He was out for like 20, 30 games.
Yeah.
Also, they were blowing out teams that he was just like, let's just throw Iguodala in there now.
Yeah.
There was nothing. Like, they didn't need to do anything with Andre Iguodala. They just needed him in the finals, stay healthy, be healthy for the finals, because you're going to come up big in the finals, as we saw in the finals. He scored 20 points and, like, some three monster dunk throwdowns on LeBron, in LeBron's face.
Yeah.
And that was the reason why you have Andre Iguodala. So,
Continual sixth man of the year. Like, he's not even really required.
He's not required.
In that offense. Yeah. So, I understand this, but to me, an impact player is not Andre Iguodala is a great player, and in fact, he could be a starter on a number of other teams. Just on one of the best teams in the NBA right now.
I agree,
and you're really not making the impact. I want to talk just a little bit about the Lou Williams thing. I think he was a good addition to Houston, but I think just because of switching from the Lakers to Houston, that he doesn't deserve that nomination.
Agreed. For 100%
for Sixth Man of the Year. I do think that, I think consequently we can go to Eric Gordon as being a supremely impactful player for Houston, and he really is just like adding to that 3-point just
Arsenal.
Yeah. Just straight up Arsenal with Houston.
Yeah.
And Harden and just the whole works, man.
And my 20 second little, you know, statement on Gordon is that he was a nothing player in New Orleans. He was a bona fide like star in the Clippers and they traded him for Chris Paul.
Yeah.
And then he became nothing in New Orleans. He was injured. He was perennially injured. He was playing 10 games a season and he was awarded for 10 games a season with a max contract. They took a gamble on him.
Yeah.
And they resurrected his career. Yeah. All you have to do is shoot threes. Don't worry about the other stuff.
Yeah.
And now you're just that much more impactful than anything else that you were trying to be.
Sure.
And that's amazing. And like maybe the game was so simplified for him that he just took it and was like, I'm now decent and a threat at all times. Also, the game is so much more easier on me because I have James Harden on the team.
Of course.
So in like New Orleans, he was kind of the dude. You know, like he was a dude. And he was always like double teamed, triple teamed, or injured. So yeah, that's my thing. Like I really think that they really took him, cradled him, like nursed him into a great player, and didn't say, "Hey, you have to do all this other stuff."
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, for that reason alone, that's an amazing six man. That's what you want out of your bench.
Of course. So I think the one thing about Iggy is like Iggy is a great two way player. Yeah. I don't think in the situation it's warranted. Look at this. Look at this the stat line up here. Eric Gordon played 31 minutes a game. 31 minutes a game. Like, that is a commendable six-man award. Yeah. So it's like, even if he doesn't add a whole lot in defense, no one on Houston adds a whole lot in defense besides, like, Patrick Beverley and everybody.
Yeah.
So, like, man, I think I'm completely cool with this.
Yeah.
I think this is actually my second...
Lock it in.
Second lock it in award.
Yeah, sure.
So
were there others that could have been on this list that could have made this list? Were you thinking of other players?
Well, the perennial Jamal Crawford.
Jamal Crawford.
Like, I mean, the Clippers weren't that good this season, but Jamal Crawford has been in this list so many years, it's hard not seeing him in this list.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there anybody else for you?
Believe it or not, I mean, Jamal Murray, who was a rookie out of Denver, was phenomenal for Denver.
Yeah.
And up until the last couple of seconds of the games in the last, you know, 5-6 games of the season, they were in it.
Yeah.
And a lot of it had to do with the 20-point outcome.
Yeah.
Like, they were so, unprecedented from a Jamal Murray rookie. So, that was one dude. I would say from the East, you know, like, hard to really kind of think about it now.
Somebody from Boston or somebody from the Wizards, maybe?
Yeah, you know, both those teams were pretty, starter heavy.
No, of course.
Like a Kelly Olynyk would have been pretty interesting.
That was the name that was coming to my head.
Zach Randolph from Memphis was thinking. I was thinking about it for a while, and then I'm shaking my pick.
I'm shaking my head a little bit. I'm shaking my head, but no, that was your preseason pick.
That was my preseason pick with Zach Randolph.
Yeah.
And
Memphis just disappoints. Shout out to Peter. you got next season. You certainly got next season.
Right.
And you got Conley's ridiculous contract to contend with.
And hairstyle. Season. So, like, you know, the defensive player of the year usually goes to a big man. And ever since Kawhi Leonard, they kind of switched it. And all of a sudden, Kawhi Leonard's taking the supreme. Yeah, with the sixth man, it's been perennially going to Jamal Crawford.
Yeah.
It's usually not, like, a big man.
Yeah.
But, like, I remember Kenneth Faried out of Denver was coming off the bench and doing so much work.
Yeah.
Nikola Jokic was coming off the bench for a while and doing so much work. So we were like now thinking about the big men off the league.
Yeah.
Kelly Olynyk and the Zach Randolphs were doing work.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting to see how the awards are now kind of shifting the balance between positions. Becoming positionless.
But I think that's the way it actually should be. I think it should have been that way the entire time.
Oh,
like
yeah.
just saying, here's guards and it's guard heavy. It doesn't need to be that way. It should be representative. It should be who's making the best impact off the bench for your team. And if they're playing significant minutes, they deserve to be in this nomination.
For sure. So, that's great.
So let's move on from sixth man up to this award in particular is controversial. And there's just a lot to tackle with this one. But we're going to go to Rookie of the Year.
Is this a consensus list? Is the nominees unanimous? Like, those would be the three picks that you would pick?
So, well, let's announce the picks and then we'll talk a little bit about it.
Sorry.
So, Malcolm Brogdon for Milwaukee, Joel Embiid for Philly, and Dario Saric for Philly as well. So, I don't know. I struggle with this a little bit.
Same.
I think the president deserves to be on this list. I think he had an impact in Milwaukee and helped them kind of make a run. And just like
he became the starting point guard overnight.
Yeah. So it's like you clearly have a position there. I think Joel Embiid would be hands down the winner of this award had he played more games. I believe he only played 31 full games this season. So.
And he's on this list.
No, that is how good he was. Yeah. But as an overarching season award, I do not think it's fair. Oh. I think that if he wins this as a rookie, literally watch out everyone else because he will take MVP so many consecutive times it'll make your head spin.
What a storyline he was this season, and I love it, and I fell into the trap. I'm riding his train, man.
Yeah.
But you said he played 31 full games. No, he played 31, like, quarter games. Okay. He was playing, like, 20 minutes a game.
That's
so
right.
It was really,
right.
If you want to, like, think about it, like, 16 full games, and that puts him out of contention, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's great that he's on this list. If you look back at the other rookies, maybe a Jamal Murray could have made this list. I don't know who else could have done this. Buddy Hield had nothing to give.
No.
And like a Chris Dunn was not even in
Chris
this
Dunn
list.
Was nowhere to be found. Yeah. We definitely were pumped on him earlier in the season.
Yeah.
And that came to a screeching halt.
Yes.
So
I mean Jaylen Brown also produced, but he produced in the manner that he should as a rookie in Boston. That is like he's getting 15 minutes a game and he gets a couple steals and like 4 points.
Yeah.
But he looked great.
So where do you go with this?
I don't want to change it up because I think we might be unanimous on this. But I'm going to go with Dario Saric. Because even though Malcolm Brogdon got his team to the playoffs, he was a starter on a playoff team.
Yeah.
As a top 5 seed, by the way.
Yeah.
Averaging what, like 13-8? Like,
yeah.
Really good stats, and he's on a 6'10" like flatline team where you can't like he's playing D, he's playing like an Andre Miller on offense, and that's like kind of borderline unstoppable if he's posting your guards up.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, you know, that's a rare breed in the NBA right now. And I would love to give it to Brogdon, but I think just because Dario Saric was the man in Philly when Embiid went down and he still gave them life and they won like 21, 22 games.
Yeah.
He's averaging 18 points. Like, he's an international rookie of the year. I love it and I'm going for it because I love the international brand that's happening in the NBA. And I love this. This would be a great storyline for the international brand of the NBA.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if that's why I want to pick him, but just his second half run here, everything that he contributed, given probably your best player in Embiid going down and still winning games. I was saying president,
I know,
it's
right?
It's so hard. I think they're both deserving, but I think you absolutely have a point that Saric is the man. He's the pick here. So right. I'm going to reverse course. I'm gonna say Saric is hands down the rookie winner here.
Yeah. All right.
So hey, but Brogdon, like
we love you, man.
He is a star. He's a star in the making.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, if you can start on a playoff team as a rookie, just watch out.
Yeah, seriously.
So.
All right, he's going to be in the league for 20 years doing exactly what he's doing right now.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to the most talked about already, and this is the most valuable player.
Yeah.
The nominees are obvious, and if you've had your TV or internet on in the last season, you know exactly what's coming. Mm-hmm. So, obviously, it's Russell Westbrook for OKC, James Harden for Houston, and Kawhi Leonard for San Antonio. Oh man, it's just I just don't see. So this list is the only one that really frustrates me with the who was selected here.
Yeah.
So it's very, very obscure to me how LeBron James did not make this list.
Yeah.
Just as the most valuable player. The most valuable player.
And he played like it.
No, of course.
He didn't take any fucking games off.
No.
He wasn't injured or anything.
No, so it's just, it's hard not seeing his name here.
Yeah, it is.
I completely respect Kawhi getting the nod here. And like I said earlier, he's probably the best two-way player in the game.
Yeah.
But LeBron James is just a threat. Kevin Durant is not on this list. Steph Curry is not on this list.
Those are former MVPs.
Yeah, so...
Those are the three former MVPs of the league.
Yeah.
And they're not on this list, which is kind of crazy to me. Also, if Kevin Durant didn't get injured, he would be on this list.
Mm-hmm.
I think he would be on this list.
No, I think he would be hands down probably the winner of this.
Yeah.
Which would have been interesting against Westbrook. However, I think Durant being injured and kind of the Durant-Curry factor in Golden State kind of balance those two out. So they're competing against each other, so not as much impact as if they were alone.
Yeah.
And then James just, I don't know what. I don't know who chose this or why they chose it like this.
Yeah.
But I would definitely have considered James in the mix here. Now, in terms of the three that are remaining, or the three that actually made the list.
Yeah, what can we take out? I think Kawhi Leonard.
I think you have to take out Kawhi to begin with. Yeah. I think that he is definitely a defensive player nominee, but just in terms of offense, in terms of like total team impact,
mm-hmm.
he had players around him that could still kind of push him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know how, like, if you remove Kawhi Leonard, you still have a team that can compete in the playoffs. If you remove Westbrook or Harden from those teams, I think you have a total fucking collapse. So
to that point, up until like March,
yeah,
we had no idea who the MVP could have been.
Yeah,
there was probably 10 candidates.
Yeah,
you know, we could probably list them all right now, but there's no point. After March, after that All-Star break,
yeah,
March on to the end, it just seems so clear.
No, it seemed absolutely clear. And it seemed so clear that I predicted it in the beginning of the season, and that is...
The premonitions galore.
Russell Westbrook, mm-hmm. Mr. Triple-Double. So
he just changed the game this season, and now the Triple-Double is now a snoozer. Like, remember when we heard about triple-doubles from, like, Derek Coleman from, like, the 90s? We were like, holy crap, so this can happen?
Yeah.
Is this actually something that can happen?
It became a stat, like, so prolific that... It got mentioned everywhere. I'm like, it's like the Fox 9 test. It's like, you know, if it got mentioned in Fox 9, it was probably overhyped a little bit too much.
Oh my God.
So it was sure. Definitely everywhere.
Yeah.
But he just showed what he could do. And I mean, he was not perfect. Neither of these players were perfect. And if you look at efficiency is, if we considered efficiency, we probably have a much different list. But just in terms of taking charge of a team,
yeah,
from both a points perspective, assists, rebounds, dude, Russell Westbrook is, I mean, doesn't he lead his team in rebounds as well?
Yeah.
I just, like, that's mind-boggling
to me. With Cantor, with Adams, with
yeah,
all their bigs.
I don't really know what to say, just in terms of, like, the total impact that he had. Just the sheer swagger that he had on the court this season.
Sometimes you see, like, the rebounds that go to, like, a Kevin Durant or a LeBron James, and it's off of a free throw miss.
Yeah.
Westbrook was rarely stat padding. I would argue that he was never purposefully stat padding.
Yeah.
Which is hard for me to convince myself of saying. Because
that's fine.
Because earlier in the year, I had a different opinion.
Yeah.
You could watch him getting like skyboards, like meaning he's up in the air, he's flying, getting those rebounds. He's actually looking for his teammates to get those dimes. And it's not just like, oh, in this quarter I'm giving all the dimes, and in this quarter I'm taking over the game.
Yeah.
It's like throughout the game. And that's hard for someone of his caliber, of his talent level, of his superstardom status to kind of always consciously be aware of. I think, like, if I was him, I would always be trying to score.
Yeah.
And he was literally looking for his teammates at least 10 times a game.
Yeah.
And so
I love that. But yeah. I mean, I just, like, the season that he had, I mean, it'd be criminal not to give him
this. It would be criminal
not to give him this award. And the fact that he did not make first team All-Star is appalling.
Yeah,
it's crazy. Appalling NBA. Yeah. So, hey, bring it back to your interns, or just send it our way again. Send
hire
it our
us,
way.
Hire us.
We'll figure out how to.
We'll work for Walmans.
Yeah. This episode brought to you by Walmans. Back again. All right. So just a short recap, if you're catching the tail end here.
Sure.
So our pick for most valuable player is Russell Westbrook from OKC. Rookie of the year is Dario Saric from Philly. Sixth man consensus, Eric Gordon from Houston. Coach of the year consensus goes to Mike D'Antoni. Most improved consensus as well goes Greek Freak. Defensive player.
Consensus as well.
I think we did consensus. It's RT, hey, it's the RTP consensus, yes. Episode. Right. But I think we've watched too much ball this season not to like figure out where the gems are. There could be a couple of switches here,
yeah.
But it's because somebody chose wrong.
Sure.
It's because somebody chose wrong. So
hey, also, we watch a lot of ball together, so we have the same opinions even. You know, it's like if, this is kind of gross to say, but if like a girl goes on her...
Cut that. Just cut that immediately. Cut that immediately. I don't know what you... Restart that from the top.
You want me to actually...
No, I don't want you to say that. I just... We just watch a lot of ball together.
Yes.
We just watch a lot of ball together. So a lot of similar opinions.
Yes.
But, I think this is interesting. So tune in tomorrow night to TNT. I don't know if this will actually drop in time for this, but otherwise, you get our predictions and we'll come back and talk a little bit about if there's any anomalies from these selections themselves.
Yeah, actually, if we drop this correctly, you'll be listening to this on the same day of the awards. So tune
yes.
in tonight.
Oh, yeah.
9 p.m. Eastern.
I love it. So that's gonna wrap up this episode for our NBA awards. So next week, we're going to be back. We're going to start getting into some free agency discussion and, maybe some dog day topics as well. So
we love the dog days.
So stay tuned. Find us on Almighty Baller. Tune in to Twitter and drop us a line about kind of everything that you're seeing related to ball. If you have hot picks for what's going down in free agency,
send it our way.
We want to see them. So we are scouring the internet for each and everything. So stay with us. Our next NBA meetup, NBA Thursday meetup, is probably going to be July for the Seattle Pro-Am. So if you're in town, stay tuned and hop on our Slack channel.
And we're going to say hi to Zach LaVine.
We're going to say hi to the brand new Zach LaVine from Chicago.
Yes.
A little bit. So my hat that got signed last season, that's a collector's
that's
item.
A collector's
now.
Item. That's great.
All right, so stay with us. This is Hondo and Guy for Red and Pine.
Peace. Peace.
This has been a Vencast Studios production.